First off, just before I left, when I started this series of 8 messages for a new church, I started a new prayer time right at the beginning. And so will you join me in prayer again? Father, in your Son's name, I pray for your words this morning, that those words would represent your reputation and kingdom, that my heart would be submitted to your Spirit and not grasp after my own will, but yield to yours. That I might announce you or bear witness to your work, may your reign increase in me, in your church, and in this world. Amen. So, some of you are aware that I've been having a long, ongoing discussion with Paisley about unicorns and rhinoceroses. Yes? And the difference between them, which in my case is understood this way. We have no first-party accounts of what a unicorn is. We only have fifth-party accounts and how it's been transferred through the years. But we do know what one-horned animals look like. And they're fat and gray and faster than you think they are. Rhinoceroses. But this morning, Piper had a puppy corn. It's a puppy with a horn. It's a puppy corn. So I asked her if I could borrow this, because this is truly a mythological beast, yes? You have never seen one in person. You've never heard of one in person until this very moment. It's brand new. Today, we're going to talk about the difference between a mythological beast and an actual Christian. Okay? I'll come back to this. This is sermon 5 in 8 messages for a new church. Remember, the first one was called The Gospel According to Dave, or if for your own purpose, do I understand the gospel enough to speak it in my own life and to people? The second one was The Jesus Way, He is Lord. The third one I did with Pastor Sean, if you'll remember, Let Yourself Be Pulled into a God-Shaped Life. And then before I went to Brazil, worship and praise are not synonyms. Worship. So today it's this. Okay, how many times should I forgive my brother? Peter asked Jesus. Up to 7 times? This is not a sermon on math. 490 times, says Jesus. No, 70 times 7 times you should forgive your brother. Not because you should be keeping little tally marks on the wall, like you're in jail. Because when you don't forgive, you actually are in jail. The person who did the thing to you often is not in jail, but you are, because you're remembering and stuck on something. You're high-centered, if you will. Does everybody know what high-centered is? If you have a four-wheel vehicle and you get something in the center that doesn't let two of the wheels, you are stuck. High-centered. So what's the mythological creature that I'm talking about? Okay, here it is. Let me just say it just very plainly to you. There is no such a thing as a Christian who does not receive and grant forgiveness. There's no such thing. If you haven't received forgiveness from the Lord, that's the line. Why? So all the tracks have this chasm in it, and the cross standing going across like a bridge in this chasm. Are you familiar with this image? The cross's work is forgiveness. The penalty has been paid for every single thing you've done in the world. And if you will not accept that bridge, you're just simply not a Christian. There's no sugarcoating of that. You don't accept Jesus as Lord if you don't accept his way. And his way goes through the cross. Now, it's not just a New Testament concept. Did you hear Joanne read Psalm 103? He removes your sin as far as you are east is from the west. Now, the difference between that is not north and south. Do you know the difference between east and west on the globe? When you go north and south, like, so our trip, 28 hours of travel, was only four time zones. And three of those were to Atlanta. The rest was north and south. But if you go south far enough, pretty soon you're heading north. Or if you go north far enough, pretty soon you're heading south. It changes. But if you go west, you just keep going. You haven't thought about that, right? Or if you're going east, everywhere you go, you just keep going east. You're just still going east. And you actually have to change directions to go the other way. As far as the east is from the west, there's no such thing as a Christian who hasn't been forgiven. Now, have you received it? I don't know. That's a different issue, right? Have you received it deep into your heart? Do you know that the Lord has forgiven you and accepted you and given you a place in his family and no longer broods over the things you've done? And by the way, let me use that term. Just let me explain that just a little bit. What does it mean to brood over something? Does anybody know? What does brooding over something mean? You keep thinking it.
Thinking about it,
and you can't let it go, right? And it just keeps, it's like a burr under your saddle. And it's going to make a sore spot. It's the part of your boot that doesn't fit right, that if you keep wearing it, you're going to have a blister. Right? You're brooding over it. You're thinking about it. But the Bible image of the sins is that the cross gathers, that the work of the Word of God and the Spirit of God is to gather all the sins at the cross and deal with them so that God, it's not that, I want to make sure that the Bible says he remembers them no more. Now, I don't want to be confused. He doesn't have Alzheimer's and he doesn't forget things. Or he's not confused about that. What he does is, the biblical picture is he puts all your stuff that you did that's wrong somewhere not under his vision and quits brooding over it. You're restored to the position you would have had you never done it. Now, I want to tell you that Karen and I worked really hard at teaching our kids the difference between "I'm sorry I got caught" and "please forgive me." Okay, we worked really hard, and I would like to say, with some success, sometimes our kids learned that lesson, and sometimes they didn't. Sort of like Christians. What is the difference between "I'm sorry" and "please forgive me"? Humility. Yeah, so I was having this conversation with Celia, Karen's foreign service sister in Brazil, and she is a wonderful example of Christianity in action. But she says to me, "I don't understand the difference that you're trying to get at here. We don't have a word for the difference between what you're talking about, sorry, and forgiveness." And I said, it's this difference, that when people say they're sorry, we remember, and we think, the next time they do that, and the next time they do that, they keep saying they're sorry, but every time they do it, I remember how many times they've done it. So they haven't repented, but they keep doing it. Now, some of that, not repenting, is different, right? That sometimes we're ignorant of stuff, and I want to make sure that Dee and I have had this conversation right here, that I often, just like most humans, only change the things I'm sorry. I'm tired of saying sorry for. Is that correct? You say you're sorry for it, and you do it again because it didn't really bother you. Right? It bothered somebody else, and so you said you were sorry. When it bothers you enough for saying sorry, and you're tired of saying sorry, you will change your behavior, because that's the Holy Spirit going, okay, don't you think that's about enough time to stop doing that? That's the 2x4 of the Lord upside your head. But forgiveness. So let me talk just a little bit about this fifth message of this thing, because it has essentially three parts to it. What's the difference between I'm sorry and I'm forgiven? I'm sorry tells somebody that I'm really bothered that it bothered you. Please forgive me says, I am really tired of hurting other people. I would like to stop. And being forgiven means that God gives you the power to be forgiven and has restoration in it. Because God actually restores us. That's the work, isn't it? He's not counting all the things I've done or you've done or anybody else has done. He's not holding it against them. He's not only holding it not so much not against me, he adopted me into his family and then lets me have more than I really deserved. So the idea of the difference between a Christian example of this, and why is it that there's no such thing as a Christian that's not been forgiven? Because you're not part of his family until you've accepted the gift of his lordship, and that lordship comes with forgiveness. I can't sugarcoat it anymore. This is the key thing. Now, we tried to teach our kids this thing. Here's a real world example. Just recently, I was in a conversation, and I didn't know that I was part of a larger conversation. So I was in a conversation with a person who had a brother, and they were having a long-term disagreement about how to do something. And one of them was asking me for advice. And I didn't know anything about the larger conversation. I know both brothers. I said something. I did this thing. I'd had another conversation. Next thing that happened is the other brother said, well, I'm having this problem, I'm not really sure how to do it, and I gave advice. But when the three of us were together, the first one used what I said against their sibling. And I was in the middle of a discussion that I didn't really know anything about. So in this case, I mean, I hadn't really transgressed, I had just sort of been unaware. This is what God led me to do. So I went to the one who got triangulated against. I'm not telling you names because I don't have full permission, blah, blah, blah. I'm just telling you my part. I went to the person who had the situation that asked for assistance. And I said, I need you to forgive me. I should not have offered advice without prayer. And then I should not have continued after the prayer unless you asked, can you forgive me? And I got told yes. And then I said, now, if you would allow, I would like to pray. You see how different that is than, well, I just sort of tromped all over your life. Sorry. I'm sorry I got caught. No, I'm sorry. And so sorry that I don't want to be that way anymore. Now, the second part, so this is, the next little piece of this is, the question that goes on in your life when you've offended somebody and you know you've said something wrong or you've done something wrong and you've hurt somebody and time has passed. Do you know this situation in your life? Anybody, just, you don't have to admit what it is, just that you understand. Okay, me too. The question in your mind is, has it been too long? Are they over it? Am I going to bring it back up? Is it going to hurt them again? Let me assure you of one thing. If there was true offense, they're not over it. Let me just, is that clear? When you've been offended, are you over it? Let's just admit for a second that we are not the Lord God Almighty, and we are not able to not brood over things for a second without His help. But what is the greatest help for us learning how to not brood over things? Well, forgiveness. Now, I know that the Christian story is whether they asked for forgiveness or not, you need to forgive. And yes, we should be doing that, and the Lord and His Spirit in us helps us do that. But when we're believers and the Holy Spirit is in us and we've offered offense, then we need to go and seek forgiveness. Not just to release them, but to release us. Because the fact of the matter is if you've truly offended somebody, they're not over it, and neither are you. Because you're thinking about it. And you're making little check marks on the wall, and how many days has it been too long? No, it has not been too long to seek forgiveness. Let me give you some verses on this. Let me read you a little story. I don't want that one. No, not that one. I've got some marked here. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them a story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide the wealth between his two sons. Now, you know this story. Good. A few days later, his younger son packed up all his things, and the story goes on, and pretty soon the younger son is lost everything because he's a kid with money. And it doesn't really matter which kid it is with money. Now, you saw me this morning sit in the kid's moment. Sometimes Karen doesn't give me cash because I'm a kid with money. And I've proven this because I got an art degree. And if money had mattered anything to me, I wouldn't have done that. I would have got a degree I could have got some money with. But I didn't. So anyway, he did all this thing, and he says to himself, "I should return home. Dad can make me a slave. That'll take all this thing." But I want to pick up the story after the fatted calf. Okay? So he's back. The party's being thrown and prepared for. And here it is in verse 27 of Luke 16:15. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working, and when he returned home, he heard the music and the dancing in the house, and he was asked one of the servants what was going on, and they said, "Well, your brother's back, and your father has killed the fatted calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return." And the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. Can you hear the clenched teeth? "There is no stinking way I'm pulling it there." But the father came out and even begged him. But he replied, "All these years, see, I'm going to do this the way that I think I've heard it out of my own brother. All these years, I've slaved for you. And never once did I ask you for anything." Do you hear it? There's no such a thing as a believer in Christ with this attitude. Now, we might fall off the wagon and need some assistance and all these things, but to make this kind of offense and never seek forgiveness for it is not a Christian behavior. Huh? Now, I know you had this lovely time with Francis, and here comes your pastor with the hard thing. And he says, look, dear son, says the father in verse 31, you have always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours, and we celebrate this happy day. For your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, and now he is found. There's no such thing as a believer who doesn't seek or receive forgiveness. So what's the second part of that? Somebody comes to you and seeks forgiveness, and you go, the very most human attitude ever is, I don't know if they're really sorry enough. Well, meanwhile, they humbled themselves to come to you and say something. Judgment is the Lord's on whether they're sorry enough. You're in jail because you're brooding and wanting it to continue because you don't like the change. Change is good in this way, right? Change is good. Stop brooding over it. Accept the forgiveness that's being asked for and give it and grant it and be free. Let them be free too. Okay. I'm almost out of time. We have communion. I need to say something else. There's a story where Jesus is, a guy comes to Jesus and he's got a demon in him, and Jesus casts the demon out, and the story is in Matthew 12. And what's going on is the Pharisees and the teachers of the law look at it and go, ah, it's because that he's a servant of Satan that he casts Satan out. Do you know this story? Okay, good. Now, it's in Matthew 12, 18 to 45. Forgiveness is the broom that sweeps your house clean. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? How many of you use a broom in your life? Okay, me too. Do I like it? No, I don't like it. But I still do it because I'm in relationship with other people. That's correct. Forgiveness is the broom that sweeps your house clean. But the story here is this, is Jesus then goes to the man and says, see, your house has been swept clean by forgiveness. Careful. Now start living right, because what happens is the demon will go off and not find a place and come back and find yours clean but unprotected and come back with some more, and it'll be worse. So what is the point here of the story? The story is God accepts you and forgives you and restores you and all this stuff, but not everything in the world is good and should be put back. By the way, not every single thing in a church is good and should be put back when something's being swept clean, right? That there's time when you sweep stuff and you put it in the bin and it goes away. You don't go, well, I know this pile that I just swept up, well, it's church stuff. So I should sweep it up, and then I'll go in the other room and go, and somebody else can clean it up later. No, not everything in the house should go back in. And when your life is swept clean, you need to find a way to start filling your house from God and not fill your house with the same old habits that the world has told you to do, which include non-forgiveness and not seeking forgiveness and all of those things. The very first thing, and so is this more important than knowing how to worship? No, they're simultaneous. You need to know that worship and praise singing is not the same thing. That there's a spot in worship where you are on your face before God saying, I don't know how to believe, help my unbelief. And that is worship. Help me, Lord, worship you more. Help me, Lord, be more forgiving and learn how to not brood over things. Help me fill my house with your stuff. And this is from Ephesians 8 or 4:8. It's not from Ephesians 8. You know how I know that? Because Ephesians 8 is in Colossians. Ephesians 4:8. This is what the scripture said. When he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. That clearly means that Christ also descended into our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher to all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now he's going to fill the entire universe with himself, the entire cosmos, but he's going to make a beachhead in his people first. And as he does this, so he's going to fill you with him. And that kind of means that maybe you don't fill it with other things because you only have so much capacity. So fill it with every good thing that comes from the Lord. That's it. I think that's all I've got time for today. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for sweeping our house clean and that we don't have to be mythical peppercorns. That we can be yours and on the path and be forgiving and restoring. May your kingdom come on earth as it already is in heaven and in our hearts too. In your precious name, amen.